So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
And as I said, you know, opening that when you have competition, when we all have competition, it brings the best out of you. You know, and anytime you add, you know, and that the makeup of those guys also helps that as well. So it's all in an effort to get better, not only to improve, you know, the skill set up front, but also just making the entire group function at a higher rate.
That was Ryan Poles talking about the Bears draft. The Bears have 11 new drafted players. Our guy, Pete Futek, who does this sort of thing for College Football News, has got some thoughts on what the Bears did right and what they did wrong in this year's draft. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And Pete has got a full breakdown on the Bears specifically on collegefootballnews.com. That's where you can check it out, but he's nice enough to come hang out with me. Pete, how are you, sir?
And you're nice enough to have me on. How's it going, Mr. Holmes? How you been?
I've been good. You know, the White Sox have been stressing me out a little bit, but I walked away from the Bears draft with some thoughts. And look, the number one thing for me is they got lottery tickets. And I know that you talked a little bit about that. Like, that them turning 6 picks to 11 isn't insignificant. Why is it not insignificant?
Strength in numbers. Look, and I've bothered you on this for years, back the day, and preached this as much as I possibly can. The NFL draft, in the first round, you have to really try to miss a regular starter, unless it's a quarterback. And the Bears obviously didn't have a first rounder. Second round, you got a 50-50 shot, historically and statistically, of getting a three-year good starter. Third year, it falls off. And after that, you might as well just be throwing stuff at the wall. So the ridiculous stats on this is it's like you have a 10% shot outside of a kicker or maybe a running back on the right year of getting a good significant starter after the third round. So what you do is the more picks you take, you know, it's sales, it's, you know, bar time, it's anything, the more contacts you make, the better the chance you got to hit. So considering the Bears didn't have a first rounder, and considering they had all these late picks, they kind of did it right. I mean, if you need a position, just keep taking it. I mean, it would have been nice to get another wide receiver outside of Velus Jones, but all right, obviously secondary was a concern, and they took three of them, a punter in the seventh round. I know it seems insignificant, but historically, again, that's the best possible value prospect you can get as a kicker and punter. And so with what they had to work with, it's a good draft. It's a good haul.
I want to go through a few of the individuals on here. Let's start with Kyler Gordon, the cornerback out of Washington. What does he do well?
Number two guy last year, Trent McDuffie, was the main corner for Washington. He's a good tackler, very, you know, one of those very good locker room guys, great personality, has a great everything you kind of want in another corner, doesn't really have that diva thing going. And he's just a good, sound player. And he came through time and again because teams are trying to stay away from McDuffie. Good tackler, just good, sound player, and a good fit there. It would not have been a total shocker had he gone late in the first round. And again, forgetting the guy, look at just the position. You needed a corner. It was a good time to get one because that's after everyone just way overpaid a little bit for those early guys. They're starting to fall off. You still had Andrew Booth there on the board. You could, flip a coin one way or another, but just a very good, sound corner.
Has Jalen Johnson lived up to what you thought he would be when the Bears drafted him out of Utah?
Again, decent draft pick, but yeah, for the most part, all measurables, all tools, that's what you kind of want. You want the guys who can fly around and can just get around the ball and have the NFL skills, and he's got that. I didn't think he was going to be a superstar or anything, but he's been a good, productive part of the puzzle. And again, I don't mean to keep preaching this way, but if you can just draft a good, sound starter, that's it. That you've done your job. Anything past that is kind of dumb luck, as the history has shown. Whether you get a Pro Bowler or get an All-Pro, if everyone knew Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt or Brady were going to do that, obviously they'd get picked earlier. But for what Jaden Johnson's been, he's been good. He's been a good, sound player.
Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com is joining me. You can check out his breakdown of the Bears draft when he's done breaking down the Bears draft with me right here. Jaquan Brisker, I loved his tape. That's the type of player that they need. They needed someone to play strong safety, and he seems to have decent ball skills. What does he do well?
Yes, just everything you just said. And he's just another just sound pick. He's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to be the big flashy guy who's going to come up with 10 picks and the lights out hit. He's just kind of always there. And forget the stats because they're not too eye-popping, but like you said with the table, you ever watched Penn State play? He was just always around the ball. And that's what you want. He's always ahead of everything. He was just able to make plays, and he's another sound pick at the right time. Safeties have been devalued for whatever reason through the years. And in this draft, Kyle Hamilton dropped. You had a bunch of other key parts that dropped. And to get him there in the second round, that's a good value pick at the right time and match him up with Gordon. And again, strength in numbers. Obviously, the Bears came into this concerned about secondary. And with the wide receivers were on the board, you had other key positions on the board, and they got two potential starters in the second round, which, look, that's it. That's everything. If you can get two guys who are that good, that sound, and experienced, and really, again, not a lot of flash with these two. You're not going to get the Trevon Diggs million plays or anything like this, but they are just going to go out there and just be good parts of the puzzle.
And maybe a byproduct of this is that what position Brisker plays. He's not a hybrid safety. He's a strong safety.
Jackson Hill, yeah, exactly. Those guys who could part corner, part exactly what both these guys are going to do. You're not going to move Kyler Gordon to free safety, and you're not really going to move Brisker up. But he does have the speed. He does have the skills to fit really pretty much every style. But he is good enough against the run where you don't have to put him as just purely a free safety.
How do you feel about Velus Jones?
All right. He's an interesting prospect because he was a huge recruit and just no one could quite figure out how to utilize his skills until he got to Tennessee. And then all of a sudden he blew up in that offense, but that offense was a little gimmicky under Josh Heupel, a yards after the catch guy. And that what he is more than anything else is a safety valve for Justin Fields. He's going to be a quick hitter, one read, get him the ball, get it up to him on the move, and just let him go. So he's not going to be a number one overall receiver. He's not going to be a huge volume catch guy. But in this offense, when you've got a quarterback who's still trying to figure it all out, you know what he's going to do. Again, right off the line, 1, 2, 3, boom, get him the ball and hope for yards after the catch. because he moves. I mean, he's great in the open field, and that's exactly what this offense needs, considering they didn't do anything really much else to help him out, at least in this draft. They didn't go for another tight end. They didn't go with any sort of possession receivers. They didn't take any flyers on receivers late. So he's really sort of it in terms of going to be the guy who's going to help make this offense go for a team that's still probably needs to find receiver help somewhere else.
There's a player that you really like that you broke down and you talked about. I'm going to get to him in a second. I wanted to ask you about Braxton Jones, because in catching up, and obviously he's playing at Southern Utah, so there's a competition level thing, and you're watching some of the games that he played against, like UNLV or whatever. Every time I felt like I was watching a guy that if he does not get better with his technique, he's going to be called for holding every time.
Yeah, there's your adjustment in speed of the game. But that's fixable, and he is just versatile enough where you can move him around where needed. Tackles, those dried up fast in this. It would be nice to get somebody a little bit earlier. Look, for a fifth rounder, you're just hoping that he's good enough to find backup time somewhere in this mix. But you're right. He's got the tools. It's just going to need a little while before he stops being a little bit of a mauler. Combine him with Zachary Thompson out of San Diego State, and if you get one of those two who can be a swing tackle, at least as a reserve, then you've got something out of those two. Again, strength in numbers when it comes to prospects. You're throwing stuff at the wall and hoping one of them hits.
Okay, so let's talk about Zachary Thomas, because you seem to like him out of San Diego State. Why do you like him?
Because what they did with that offense is it was all about the running game. You knew what was coming. They didn't have any semblance of a passing attack. And what he was able to do is be one of the key guys that they worked that offense behind. You knew you were running behind him. Pass protection, it's still iffy because they didn't have to do a whole lot of that. So that's not really going to be his forte in game, even though he can move really well. But he's got a nice combination of athleticism and power, and I just like the fact that whenever you watch San Diego State play, they ran the ball, and he was one of the key guys who made that thing all go.
College Football News is where you can find Pete Futek. He's really great on this stuff. He covers college football, and he's all over it. What did you take away from the draft? Like, what was a theme that you thought was interesting from this year's draft?
Nobody liked it. It was boring, but it was an infrastructure draft. You know, infrastructure can be sexy. I mean, it was, okay, you had the pass rushers, but last year was all about those quarterbacks. You had all five of those big name quarterbacks. You had franchise changing picks. And this year you didn't have that. You didn't have the real flashy guys. Of course, the wide receivers were sort of interesting, but if you don't have quarterbacks going early, there just isn't enough interest in the draft. But the positive about all that is historically, quarterbacks are the big busts in the first round. At least they don't give you what you want. So this first round is actually going to be really, really good because you have all these position players who are going to be starters. And then the big key is these other quarterbacks who slid. God, how fast is Ryan Tannehill going to be like an Indianapolis Colt or a Washington Commander at some point? I mean, Malik Willis going to Tennessee, that was big. Sam Howell going to Washington, that was a thing. You know, Kenny Pickett going to Pittsburgh. Okay, at the time it seemed like, okay, great value, but then you see where these other quarterbacks went, and Pittsburgh's probably looking around the room being like, hey, y'all didn't want a quarterback here? So the value in these quarterbacks just dropped. So overall, this is a really good, really sound draft, and just people didn't seem all that interested in it. I can tell from just stats on the site and just overall general interest. However, everyone's going to be jacked for next year because that's when C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young and Will Anderson, and that's where Jackson Smith and Jigba, this is where the real stars come out. And the crazy part about next year is if you took like the five or six top guys for 2023 and put them in this draft, Trayvon Walker's like the seventh pick. The real stars are still in college.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the situation with the quarterbacks because I wanted to ask you about that. Specifically, we see every year people go, oh, well, I got to get a quarterback, so I'm going to elevate this quarterback beyond where that quarterback should actually be drafted. I thought that outside of Pittsburgh, the NFL told you exactly how bad they think all of these quarterbacks are, and I was surprised at them not allowing themselves to jump up and say, we got to get a quarterback because we got to get a quarterback. I was shocked by that.
You and I are on year, I believe, 12 of arguing about this, where you dog the quarterbacks, and I keep telling you, you're in the midst of the greatest quarterback play in the history of the sport. And the NFL is also telling you, who needs a quarterback? I mean, of course, Drew Lock isn't anything special, but he starts. You know, give me the team out there that absolutely desperately had to go quarterback, especially considering Baker Mayfield. All right, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers or anything, but he's still out there. Apparently, Carolina actually likes Sam Darnold. At least they're saying that. So if you look around the room, you know, there's just not a lot of jobs open. There's not, I don't want to say quarterback is the new running back, but where are the teams that absolutely came into this draft and said, we've got to have a quarterback? And even Pittsburgh, like Mitchell Trubisky to a certain extent, can at least start. I mean, somebody. But you're right. One, these quarterbacks just weren't that great. Two, everyone seems to have a quarterback. And three, read the overall room. Who's winning Super Bowls? It's the team that's mortgaging everything to get the great defense and the great rest of the parts, and then you get Matt Stafford. Or you have the great defensive guys in place and a nice offensive front, and oh yeah, you got TB12 coming down to Tampa Bay. So if you're a team that's on the verge of winning a Super Bowl, we've learned, get all the other parts in place, and then you go find your quarterback and go from there. But when you have, you know, and last game who's playing fantasy going into next year, you know, Deshaun Watson, look what Tua has to work with there in Miami. Just the wide receivers that are coming off the board all over the world. Everyone's got receivers. Everyone's got quarterbacks. And they're just seeing that these guys are just kind of eh. And the stars came out last year, and they are coming out next year.
You said that this was an infrastructure draft. I like that depiction of it. I think it actually makes a lot of sense. In this infrastructure draft, is there anyone that you, any team that you thought did a great job of not just getting stars, but filling needs?
Baltimore had a historically awesome draft. And it's always silly to be like, oh, who won, who lost it? Because obviously you don't know for 3 to 5 years if these drafts actually work. But in terms of value, in terms of getting guys who make sense, in terms of guys who at least, according to the rest of the world, got right value at the right time, who every pick you said, oh, yeah, there's a guy who slid, and it makes a ton of sense because he went to Baltimore. You know, Tyler Linderbaum, every NFL guy would say that Tyler Linderbaum is a starting center immediately in this draft. Iowa offensive linemen are very hit or miss, but at least for the moment, getting him to slide there was absolutely awesome for Baltimore. What they were able to do in pick after pick after pick, it was insane how much value they were able to continue to get over and over and over again. Just from Kyle Hamilton, find the person out there who didn't think that he was one of the, any NFL guy who didn't think he was one of the 5 best players in this draft, if not number one. He slid to 14. David Ojabo, I kind of thought the Bears should have gone for him and waited a year, because when that Achilles tendon healed, that's a top 15, if not top 10 overall pick as a pure pass rusher. He slid down. Travis Jones of UConn. That third round is ridiculous for that kind of draft that did nothing at defensive tackle. Daniel Fale from Minnesota, the 384-pound guy. I thought he would have been perfect for like a Pittsburgh in the first round. And on and on and on. They kept nailing their picks. And it just, they did everything perfectly in this draft. Whether it works, we know how it works. Half of them are going to bust. You know, a couple are just going to be all right. There's going to be one good guy. But in terms of just the draft and the value and the timing, they crushed this thing.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you like a big picture college football question. I've noticed that there's a lot of chatter on Twitter and Instagram and CBS Sports HQ and wherever you get your college football stuff about the unintended consequences of NIL. How worried are people in college football about the genie now being out of the bottle and not having control over NIL?
Let's put it this way. All they're tapping is it's now out in the open. It's not like these guys were just going to a certain school because they had a good psych department. It's fine. It's actually the players have control now. They're able to actually get paid. And actually, the crazy part about this, not to kind of do a half pivot because this does revolve around the draft in a couple ways, is that it's the perfect scenario for colleges and the NCAA. They just have to they fell ass backwards into this. They get free labor that they don't have to pay for. These guys are getting paid, and they're not on a salary. It's the perfect business model for college athletics. And for all the, you know, the Mark Emmert just leaving the NCAA and everyone dogged him, but look, it's healthier than it's ever been. The sport's making more money. There's more interest. The product is great. NIL is okay. Everyone has to just get kind of used to how this works. They are going to have to tweak the transfer portal. Now, where this involves the draft is more and more guys, if you're getting NIL money and you're maybe a fringish late pick, you might stay around in college. Because the Sincere McCormick, this guy at Texas San Antonio, the great running back for them, I thought he was going to be drafted mid-round. He's a good back. Didn't get drafted. Last time I checked, he's still trying to wait and see where he's going. Might be Miami. But like, there was a guy who, had he stayed in school, he would have been a preseason All-American. He would have gotten some sort of NIL money. He had an agent. And he could have gotten something for this. So I do think more and more you are going to see players stick around because they're going to get paid in that way. And it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. As soon as the ball gets kicked off, everything's going to be fine. And it doesn't matter if there's NIL or not. It's going to be Alabama versus some other SEC team in the national championship. It's different. They're just going to get there in a different sort of way.
Pete, as always, I appreciate the time and the perspective. CollegeFootballNews.com. What's something that people that are clicking on should be looking for?
Well, right now we have a draft for another day and a half or so because we ranked all the drafts based on value and where these teams did, how well these teams did. Got the pro prospects up there for next year when the draft really is going to be far more interesting. And then it's on. Then it's, you know, we start with all the rankings and all the fun stuff for the college football offseason because it's coming faster than we think if summer ever gets here and we get that first. But, we get to have all the fun offseason stuff now.
Yeah, I mean, all of the spring games are done, and now we start getting ready for
fall. By the way, to your point, what the fun part about this now, God bless anybody who's trying to do a print preview or anything because the depth charts with the transfer portal now, as soon as you're a number two guy in a depth chart, you're gone. This is going to be the craziest college football offseason ever.
I think you're correct about that. Pete, as always, I appreciate the time, sir.
Later, man.
That is Pete Futek of College Football News. Read it, collegefootballnews.com. When we come back, Marcus Stroman was really, really good yesterday, and he has been for his last couple of starts. I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about that, maybe throw in some more stuff on the draft next here on The Score.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
It's time for the Cubs Minute.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Fly the W!
Wrigleyville fans are awesome. Great food. It's, you know, it's tough to beat.
Cubbies. The Cubs Minute on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Here's the pitch. Wisdom swings, cracks one in the air, deep left field. Going back is Taylor. He looks up. And the no-hitter and the perfect game are over. Patrick Wisdom goes yard, and the Cubs have the lead. 1-0 over the Brewers here in the fifth inning. Now that's a way to get off the schneid.
Now the 0-2. Cracked on the ground, fair, inside third, down the left field line. It's going to roll all the way into the corner. Rivas racing to third, chasing it down is Yelich. Rivas heading to the plate. He will score. Run scoring double, Seiya Suzuki, Cubs lead 2-0. Swag and a miss, Cubs win the ball game. He struck him out on a curveball, and the Cubs beat Milwaukee by a score of 2-0.
The Cubs did beat Milwaukee yesterday 2-0 behind Marcus Stroman, which I'll get to in a minute. But know that between now and the end of the show, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Southsiders on Wednesday at Wrigley Field. All right? So keep this, write this number down. Do not call it right now. Write this number down. 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. And then you will be prompted to call that number, and if you're the right caller, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Southsiders on Wednesday. Okay? Great. Now let's talk about Marcus Stroman. Stroman, over his last two starts, has been really good. Two back-to-back quality starts for him, and you see him only give up a couple earned runs. In that stretch, 13 innings and 2 earned runs for him, 8 total strikeouts. More so yesterday, 90 pitches for Stroman in the game. Good ground ball rate. You have Milwaukee pounding the ball into the ground, and that gives you a better chance to win games. Mechanically, he was a little bit off in his first start, which is why his first couple of starts, which is why they looked clunky. But the last two starts have been tremendous. Ian Happ was on the score earlier today, and Dan asked Ian about Marcus Stroman, playing behind him and what type of guy he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's super impressive what he did yesterday. I think that's what he expects out of himself, is going out there, that rhythm, the energy, the consistency of pitch quality. Yesterday, him and Jan had a really good thing going, looked and felt like hitting his spots the whole day, and not really fighting his mechanics, being really fluid through the whole process. So that was awesome to see. It was fun to watch. I think that's what he expects going forward.
Well, he's had a reputation, too, about maybe not being so easy on the defense behind him. What kind of discussions does he have in games, throughout games? Is he actively discussing the way certain hitters are being played? What is the interplay like between innings with him?
Yeah, honestly, there hasn't been much that I've heard so far. I'm not sure if there's any infield discussions, but I know he is somebody who kind of, he understands where his fielders are before he throws pitches, before he attacks guys. So he does do a good job of scanning the field and understanding where guys are being played, because I think he has a really good sense for how his pitches are going to be put in play by certain guys as part of his routine and study.
Yeah, because pitching and defense kind of go together. So you want to try and pitch into the strength of your defense. I understand that quite a bit. If you're looking at the pitch mix for Marcus Stroman, he's thrown more sliders than sinkers over his last couple of starts. It looks like he's gotten a better feel for that slider, and he's getting more ground balls because of it. He retired the last 14 batters that he saw in yesterday's game. My feeling on the Cubs, it's been my thing the whole time leading up into the season. Once we got the lockout out of the way, my issue with the Cubs was, hey, if you can get Hendricks and Stroman, knowing that those two guys are going to give you a chance to win in every single game, then you're going to be all right. Then you're going to be in a position to maybe add if in the middle of the season or whatever. They both kind of have had these kind of jumpy starts to things. And you look at Hendricks so far, he hasn't had the type of season that you would want for him to have yet. Obviously, there's still a ton of time for him. But when you start looking at some of the starts that Kyle has had, it's not ideal for what you're hoping your number one guy does. So, like, you look in here, there's too much of the oh my gods. He's had five starts this year. Three of them have been okay. And then one of them has been great. And then two of them have been oh my god. He only went 3 2/3, or he only went 4 1/3, and he gave up 6 runs both of those times, which is why his ERA is in the mid fives right now. But if they can trust Stroman and Hendricks as they're developing, like, the rest of their pitching staff, and throw in Drew Smyly if you want, that'll give them a chance. I do wonder if Cubs fans are enjoying their Nick Madrigal experience right now, because it hasn't been great. He'll hit singles eventually. Eventually, he'll hit some singles. Let me go back to the draft real quick, because I want to talk about this. I want to talk about Valus Jones Jr., the wide receiver out of Tennessee. I am intrigued by him. Intrigued. Just because he seems like the type of receiver. For the folks that are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore, besides my Diz bobblehead, you'll see me doing air quotes on receiver. We're finding more and more of these players that can do a little bit of everything, and then their teams decide, well, yeah, let's have them do a little bit of everything. The two names that were brought up in conversation about Jones was, one, Tyreek Hill. And Ryan Poles had made mention of how people thought that Hill was just going to be a returner, and look at what he's turned into, you know, the highest paid wide receiver or whatever for now. You know how that goes. It changes every week. And then the other name is Deebo Samuels, and that name has been ringing bells over the last week in the NFL, because Deebo doesn't want to be used like a hybrid player and then paid like a running back. He wants to be like that value that you're getting because I'm a wide receiver that can also line up in the backfield and run out of the backfield as well as any running back. I think he led the NFL last year in yards per attempt. NFL offenses are looking more and more for guys like this. If you didn't look at the Jones tape, I want you to go back and look at it today. What impressed me about it is the creative ways that Tennessee found to get him open and to get him the ball in space, which allowed some of that natural playmaking ability to take over. I liked where they lined him up. I liked the different things that they did and the type of havoc that that can cause. Like, he's not he's definitely not an X, and he's really not a Y receiver. But lining that guy up in the slot and then working off of your X or your Y, I think could be a lot of fun. Like, he strikes me as the type of player that we're going to be talking about years from now. It's like, man, that guy's really valuable. And maybe the statistics aren't eye-popping, but the things that he can do to a defense where he puts stress on them, because he does have pretty decent speed, he can challenge the top of a defense, but he's a guy that will make plays with the ball in his hands. And that to me is exciting. I know that there are Bears fans who are like, they really needed more wide receivers. And you're correct. Don't let anyone move you off of that point, because you're right. I still walked away from their draft going, okay. Like, I understand what the goal was, and the goal seemed to be, let's get more shots at this. Let's try to pick up as many bodies as we can. Let's add them to what it is that we want to do and see if we can find some gold, mining for gold. I love the first two picks. I'm intrigued by the third pick. And the more I watch on Dominique Robinson, I'm like, yeah, I like some of the stuff that's going on there. And we'll start to figure this out, obviously, as they start to play games. The schedule come out next week, too. People be going crazy. They're going to go 6-11. That's right, 17 games now, right? Yeah, that's it. But yeah, that was my conclusion. Like, I spent last night, I was like, man, I'm surprised that the NBA didn't have any primetime games scheduled last night. Like, I was shocked by that. And I said, oh, well, then I can just look at tape. So that's what I did. And those were some of the conclusions I came to on it. We'll take a break. I want to talk Bulls and NBA next here on The Score. Hey, caller 6 to The Score contest line, which is 312-540-0670. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Southsiders on Wednesday. You can get all your Cubs tickets over at Cubs.com. Caller 6 to the contest line. Don't bother Studs. He's doing stuff. Watching the NBA playoffs yesterday, listening to them too, it was interesting because I was wondering, was Giannis going to be able to do what Giannis did to the Bulls against the Celtics, who are a really good defensive team? And yeah, he did like all the stuff to the Celtics that he did to the Bulls, including bullying them in the lane, throwing an alley-oop to himself off the backboard, and triple-doubling them. That Milwaukee team, even without Chris Middleton, is a problem. And when Chris Middleton gets back in a couple weeks, they're going to be even more of a problem. I am loving the playoff basketball, and I'm looking forward to it tonight. I'm rolling with Memphis. Like, that's my squad now that the Bulls are out of it. And I think they missed the chance yesterday, because that Golden State team is back to being deep and dangerous. Klay and Steph are back together. Draymond's doing all the weird stuff. And they found some pieces that is going to extend the basketball life. Plus, I think they have an excellent coach in Steve Kerr. But Memphis is my squad, man. I like the way that they roll. I like the way they defend. Desmond Bain is a problem. Ja Morant is really good. I think this series goes deep, but I thought that Memphis really missed out on a chance to take control of this series. We'll see if they can bounce back in game two, but Steph and Klay, man, hard to bet against them, but yet somehow I have. Parkins and Spiegel are back together, and you're going to hear from them next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.